Today I'm going to be reading from the book of Job. Job is one of my favorite books, but it's also one of the books that's most greatly misunderstood. And I kind of want to bring you enough of the picture of Job today that you can understand. I always caution people when you read the book of Job, make sure that you know who's speaking as you read. Because there's passages where Job speaks, and there's passages where three of his friends speak. At the end of the book, in chapter 42, God looks at the three friends and says, "You need to have Job pray for you because you never said anything right about me." So it's very easy to read parts of the book of Job and form some theology out of that and form some understanding of who God is out of that. But if you're looking at the wrong person speaking, you need to know that. You need to know that there are people that are not speaking the truth in this book. Today's passage I'm going to read comes from Job in the 19th chapter, starting in verse 23 down to verse 27. Job says these words, "Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead, or engraved in rock forever. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me." There comes times in our lives where things just don't work right. And no matter what we're doing, no matter how we're trying to do things, they don't work right. It seems as though everything is against us. And it seems every way that we turn, some folks would say we have nothing but bad luck. Job was one of those people that could say that. Job lost everything. If you go and read chapters 1 and 2, you find out that the adversary, the HaSatan, which has become a proper name now, the Satan is what HaSatan is, if I translate that from Hebrew. The Satan was in heaven with God. And they were having a discussion, and God says, "Satan, where have you been?" And Satan says, "I've been roaming about the earth looking for someone to bug." Yes, I paraphrased it a little bit, but that's what he says. And God says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" I'm hoping the conversation in heaven, when God talks about me, is not to volunteer me to Satan. But he did. He volunteered Job. He says, "Have you tried bugging him?" And so Satan goes off to bug Job. And terrible things happen to him. He loses everything. Everything. Except his wife. And I'm just going to leave that one alone. Because she's not kind to him and not helpful to him at all. I'll let you go read that one on your own. Satan comes back to heaven in this meeting that they're having in heaven, and he basically tells God, "I told you that I couldn't affect him." And God says, "Go back and bug him again." And Satan says, "I'm going to make him sick." And God says, "I will let you make him sick." And he goes back and bugs Job a second time. And Job becomes sick and has sores from his head to the bottom of his feet. And it says that he sits upon an ash heap, and takes a piece of pottery and scrapes his sores. Three friends come to help Job, and they do an absolutely wonderful thing for 3 days, or for 7 days. Three friends come, and they do an absolutely wonderful thing for 7 days. They sit with Job and never say a word. And then they ruin it all by telling Job how to fix things. Sometimes we just need to sit with people, not give them answers. And what happens is these three individuals tell Job that if he would just repent and confess his sins, that God will fix everything. And Job looks at them and says, "I have not sinned." And the book of Job reports that he has not. But his three friends continue to try to convince him, if you will just confess your sin, God will fix everything. And Job continues to struggle. And one of the things that happens when we struggle in this world is that struggles can cause us to step away from God, especially when the struggles are unfair. The scripture says that Job didn't do anything wrong. He lost all of his possessions, lost all of his children, lost his health, lost everything. And the scriptures say that he never did anything wrong. Is Job's struggle not what we would consider unfair? And sometimes that happens to us, doesn't it? Things happen to us that really have no reason for why they should happen to it. They just happen. My answer for that, by the way, is sin has affected this world. And somebody else's sin can affect my life even when I have not sinned. Somebody else's sin can affect my life. Their poor choices, bad choices, wrong choices can have an effect on me, right? I haven't done anything wrong. And the struggles that happen then can cause me to go, will I continue my relationship with God? If God has allowed all of these struggles to happen, will I continue my relationship with God? Because, Lord, it's not right. And by the way, if you take time to read the book of Job, you will find out that Job is a very angry man who tells God very deeply with very strong words, "You have done me wrong. And I have done nothing wrong, Lord, and you know it." Job's a very forceful individual. He even says in the midst of this book, "I wish that I had never been born. Because if I had never been born, I wouldn't have had to go through these struggles." Anybody ever felt like that? You see, Job is a person that we can identify with. The book of James tells us that Job was very patient. Sometimes I wonder, did James read the same book of Job that I read? Because what I want to say is Job was patient, but he didn't have a passive patience that just sat back and said, "Oh, well, whatever happens, happens. It's God's will, and I must let it happen, and I must accept it." Job had a very active patience that spoke to God and told God, "You have done me wrong. Answer up." Instead of the struggles causing him to back away, the struggles caused him to step closer to God. You see, Job lived in that situation, and he cried out about the injustice that happened to him. You can't read this book any other way. You can try, I think, but if you really pay attention to what Job says, he's angry, he's upset, and he cries out about the injustice that has happened to him. He's lost all of his possessions, lost all of his children, lost his health, and you know what? Now I'm going to say it. You know what his wife said to him? Job, you just need to curse God and die. Boy, what a help that was, huh? Job doesn't do that. He continues to have a dialogue with God. His friends explain to him that if he would confess his sins, then God will change everything. All you got to do is confess your sin, Job. Just tell God, be upfront with what your sin is, and God will fix all of this stuff. And Job says, but I didn't sin. And he declares that in the book over and over and over and over again. Every time one of his friends talks, he comes back and says, by the way, I didn't sin. And they're just like, get real. You're lying to us. You are not telling us the truth. You need to look deep in your heart and find the sin that's caused all these problems. And then we get to chapter 19, and Job knew that this was not the case that he had sinned. And he wished that they would listen to him. And he made a very bold statement about a future hope. A very bold statement. He wishes so much that his friends would listen to him. Look at what he says. Oh, that my words were recorded. First, he says that they were written on a scroll. Well, a scroll can be destroyed pretty easily. So Job says, no, I wish that they were written on a piece of iron with or a piece of lead with an iron tool. A little bit more permanent. And then Job says, no, I wish they were carved in rock forever. If you guys would just listen to my words. Listen, I didn't sin. And then he says these important words that shows that he has a great deal of hope, even in the midst of sitting on the ash pile and scraping his sores with a piece of pottery. I know that my Redeemer lives. And then at the end, he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh, I will see God. I will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Do you see what Job's saying? He says, all of this stuff has happened to me. All of it can continue to happen, but I know that the one who is going to redeem me lives. And there will be a day that that Redeemer will stand upon this earth. And even after I die, my eyes will be able to see my Redeemer in the flesh. I mean, do you hear? In the midst of despair, Job has this incredible, incredible amount of hope. He says, it doesn't matter. My Redeemer lives. I will see him face to face one day. I will see him face to face. Job knew that his Redeemer lives and that one day after death. One of the first songs that I ever learned how to sing as part of a men's choir was called Face to Face. And I remember especially one young, or not young, one older man that I used to stand near in the men's choir. That was his favorite song. And it became my favorite because of Jack. And Jack loved to sing that song. And Jack so much looked forward to that day that he could see God face to face. Such a calm, reserved man. One point in time, I was the men's leader for the men's organization of the church, and he was my secretary. And every Wednesday night before we had supper, Jack would come to me and he would bring me birthday cards for all the men in the church that week to have me sign them as the men's leader in the church. And I said, Jack, I said, you know what? It's okay with me if you just sign my name and send them out. And he taught me an important lesson. No, it's not okay if he signs my name. If you're going to express love, you've got to do it yourself, not let somebody else do it for you. And Jack taught me so much about loving other men and reaching out to them and helping them. So much. A little short man. I don't even know what his real name. I can't remember what his real name was because it was something else. His last name was Giuliano. So he was a nice little short Italian guy. But Jack was wonderful. He loved me to no end. And I was out of town one week for work, and Jack went into the hospital. And when I came back, I was told that only family was allowed to visit. I never got to say goodbye to Jack. But I know I'll get to say hello to him again. Because both Jack's Redeemer and my Redeemer lives. And I will see one day after the bodily resurrection that's promised to us, because we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, I will be able to see Jack in the flesh again. And we both will get to sing one more time, face to face. I know Jack will, I know he's been excited to be in front of his Savior and see his Savior for years now. Because that's been over 30 years ago that Jack died. But I'll never forget that. And I look forward to seeing Jack's face again so that he can introduce me to my Redeemer that lives. You see, when problems are happening and things are going on, that can cause you to turn away from God because you just want to say, God, why didn't you keep this from happening? God, why did you allow this to happen? I haven't done anything wrong. I am being unjustly treated. This is unfair, God. These things shouldn't be happening to me. That's specifically the time that I need to sit down and spend some time with Job. Because I haven't lost everything like Job did. Not at all. I haven't lost everything because God volunteered me to Satan. But Job did. And Job kept his faith. He continued to walk with God. He continued to talk with God. And that's one of the things that I think is most important. Even when I'm upset at God because I don't like what has happened, when I'm mad at God, it's okay to talk with God about it. Job did. And Job still lived. Job did not always speak nice about God. But he talked with God about it. And as he talked with God about it, God helped Job come to a place where he could go even deeper in relationship with God. Instead of covering it all over and not being willing to talk about it, and just saying, well, that's God's will, and I just must accept whatever God's will is. You know, there's some things I've truly believed that happen in this world that's not God's will. And sometimes when those things happen, they can affect us, right? Are you going to step away from God because there's struggles? Or are you going to come closer and speak what you need to speak? through 29 years of ministry, I will honestly tell you, there are some prayers that I have said that you might say, that's not good. But I've said them, and God said, let's talk about that. Do I have answers? No. Am I closer to God? Yes. Am I willing to trust God more? Yes. Will I get my answers when I go to heaven? I don't think so. I really don't think so. Part of it is because it's not going to matter then. Is it? I get to stand face to face with my Redeemer. Really? Now I'm going to complain? How about you? I'm not going to complain. I get to stand face to face with Jesus Christ who saved me. It's going to be joyous. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be wonderful. It's okay if I have to struggle. It's okay if things are unfair. Because you know what? My Redeemer lives. And I get to see my Redeemer one day face to face. What about you? Is that where you are? When struggles happen, can you just tell God it ain't right? By the way, you can use bad English when you talk to God, in case you're wondering. It ain't right is perfectly good to say for anybody in here who's an English teacher. Because when you get mad and upset, English grammar goes out the window. Have you ever noticed that? It's okay to use whatever words you need to use. Because guess what? Our God's big enough to help us deal with it. Our God's big enough to help us walk through it. Our God's big enough to help us get to a place where we can do like Job and say, my Redeemer lives. And even one day after my death and my flesh is gone, I will stand again in the flesh and I will be able to see my Redeemer face to face. And all that struggles and unfairness and injustice will just go by the wayside. Because I get to look at my Redeemer face to face. Are we as confident as Job to have the hope for the future while despairing? Are we as confident? Are you as confident? I mean, yes, there's moments when I'm not that confident. It happens. But can you talk to God about it and get through it? Because I'm going to tell you what, if you clam up about it, you're probably not going to get through it. What happens to a wound that's not cleaned out? We use a word called it festers, doesn't it? When your heart is wounded because you don't think things are right, you've got to cry out about it. You got to get it out of your system. You got to speak with God about it. But yet be confident. My Redeemer lives. And one day I will see Him face to face. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, sometimes in the horribleness of other people's lives, we can see what we need to see. Sometimes it's so easy for us to say, that's unfair. Injustice has happened to me. It's not my fault. And all that's true. All of that can totally be true in our lives. It's during those times of despair, Lord, that we need to come closer to You. that we need to draw closer, that we need to talk about things as we see Job talked about things. And even at the end of the book of Job, God, he says, I put my hand over my mouth and I will never talk to God again. And God, you say to him, take your hand off your mouth. I want to have a dialogue with you. So Lord, help us to open up where we need to open up. But help us also to understand that our Redeemer lives. And one day, if we believe in our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, we will stand face to face with you with no fear, and we'll be able to praise you and thank you for all that you've done for us, even through the shadows of death. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.